Good afternoon, everybody. This is Sterling Brown. Along with me in the studio is your boy, your bro,
Brian Duchesne.
Yes, that's Duchesne. You got to say it right with that French, the Frenchness. We're just here to talk to you today about a couple topics. Let's jump right in. Here we go. Brian's going to take you off with the baseball.
Hey, it's past midseason. We got to talk some baseball here. Sterling, what teams do you think are going to make the playoffs? What teams are right on the edge? What teams do you think are going to miss out? And what do you expect to see the second half of the season?
All right, well, I got to start off with my AL West. Now, first of all, I see the Mariners winning out the rest of the season and going to the playoffs in my dreams. Honestly, the Rangers are such a dominant force right now. You can't mess with them. Everybody, Beltre, Hamilton, I mean, they got the big guns. They also got a pitching staff behind that. Now, the other teams I see kind of in the hunt, I would say Philly is kind of dropping off in my standpoint. They're nice, but not that nice. Help me out here, B-Deezy.
I mean, you never can sleep on the Chicago White Sox. Every year in the AL Central, they always give somebody a scare. Even if they don't make the playoffs, they're still threatening every year. They're currently in first place by two games in the AL Central. And also you got Cleveland trailing with Detroit right behind them. Detroit just two games back, Cleveland 3.5. And then you have the Yankees dominating in the AL East, up 9.5 games over the Baltimore Orioles. But I think the Baltimore Orioles are the comeback story of the year. They've been terrible for the last...
Yeah, they're weak.
Yeah, I don't know how many years they have been terrible, and they've been painful to watch. But this year it's been a nice surprise watching the Baltimore Orioles come out of what they have been, and they look to be in contention of a playoff spot now, and they're in the running for the wild card spot right now. But also in the National League, the Washington Nationals, where did the Washington Nationals come from?
Strasburg, baby.
Like, it's pretty ridiculous. Like, all these teams, I love it, actually. Like, you know, they just start bad teams like a couple years ago. Now you got Washington in first place. You got Cincinnati in first place. You've got Baltimore in the playoff hunt. It's good for baseball, and it's really fun to watch. So I'm thinking Texas is going to make the playoffs. Baltimore, I'm gonna say, is the number one wild card team, and I got to go with my team Detroit for the number two wild card team. I say Chicago wins the AL Central. New York hangs on in the AL East, obviously, because they're up 9.5. And the AL West, like you said, Texas, I don't think anyone's catching Texas because they have the full team. They have the pitching. They've got the power. I don't think anyone's going to stop them in the AL West. Even though the Angels are on the rise, I think Texas is just too dominant.
Don't forget the Mariners.
Oh, yeah, the Mariners. I forgot. We forgot to mention the Mariners. They are currently alternating with Minnesota for the worst team in the American League.
All right. Well, on that note, let's talk about the Mariners for a little bit. Now, okay, Smoke is batting about 200, but I'm not worried about Smoke. You see, even before he hit the two homers this week, I wasn't worried about him. He's a good up-and-coming hitter. What we need is a huge bat for them to look up to. We need to grab that Prince Fielder that we were after. We need to grab that Pujols or that big-time veteran to really, like, lead our staff, to make them step their game up. I mean, Montero is nice. Seager. Even Casper's just doing all right. Fielding-wise, we're pretty solid. We just don't really put any points on the board, and that's always been our problem. We're always getting guys, making them good, and then shipping them off to whoever knows. So what I would like to see the M's management do is get out the checkbook, sign some of these big names who are already known in the league, and then surround them with, you know, more of our young talent. But we need a couple more just bona fide 40 homers, 300 batting average players on the team. What you got on the Mariners?
Yeah, I mean, you know, now that we're on the topic of the Mariners, we haven't seen them make any real big moves. Is it a good move to hang on to Ichiro, hang on to Felix? Do you think they should drop the payroll?
What do you think?
Try to go for a trade. You know, I think the reason that they're keeping Ichiro, a lot of people in Seattle might give me a hard time for saying this, but I think the reason they keep Ichiro is because he keeps fans in the seats and they're not really playing to win the game. They could probably get something for Ichiro. He's on the decline. He's hitting around 260, which isn't typical Ichiro. He's not the same Ichiro he was 2-3 years ago. So I think if you could deal him, get some young talent for him, develop him, instead of trying to put people in the seats, try to win in a couple years. If you trade Ichiro now, you'll be winning in a few years. You'll get more fans in the seats in future years instead of having the decline go down from the attendance. Like we've seen, it dropped by millions per year. So, I mean, I think you have to deal Ichiro at some point.
Let me devil's advocate that one for a second. Now, I would say I agree. Like, Ichiro is unfortunately looking like he's on the way. He's cruising out. You know, we all know he's been in the league years. He was in the Japanese league for years before he even got here. And if we hold on to him, we're definitely keeping fans. If we let him go, Safeco's going to be looking a little light, you know, in the outfield. And it'd be kind of disloyal in a way of, I mean, not that the Mariners management cares usually, but it would be a bad look to get rid of him. But that's the nature of the business also, is to build a team and support the team and get the fans, keep the fans interested. I would like to see what we could get for Ichiro, and maybe get Ichiro on a team that can get him to the playoffs where he has a chance to make a good run, and we have a nice package or severance package that we receive ourselves with some players who can hit, and hopefully a pitcher who throws heat and not just has a funky haircut and throws sidearm submarine balls like RBI baseball. And then we, you know, get ready for next year, because honestly we're looking like we're going to be flailing inflatable arm tube man in the AL West for the next couple of years. Moving on to NFL now. All right.
You know, NFL, a lot of people, you know, mid-summer, we're mid-July right now. A lot of people not really looking ahead to the NFL, but it's something we got to talk about right now.
Let's start out with the drama. Okay, I'd like to do a reenactment on Justin Blackmon from the Jacksonville Jaguars after his coach found out that he got popped for a DUI, which he got popped for one the year before also, where he was driving like a maniac in Oklahoma. His coach was probably like, Justin, what were you thinking? Oh, you weren't thinking. You just signed a big contract. You can take a cab all the way across the country, or a limo, or have a friend drive you home, and you decided to go with getting a DUI again, just totally putting yourself on the wrong map. But you know what? Of course, they're still going to keep you and help you grow. But hey, this has got to be one of the dumbest things I've ever seen happen by a player who hasn't even played a single game yet, but has all the fans really excited about his talent. Now, what kind of example is that setting for him? What does that say about Blackmon as a player? Or was it basically, this is what I think, okay? Honestly, give the kid a hard time. He's, what, 22 years old. He made a mistake. He is, hey, what's up, Michael?
Oh, sorry.
No. It's all right. It's all right. We have Michael sighting here. So Blackmon is a 22-year-old receiver. He made a mistake. He's rich now. Now he has all this money. He kind of went crazy, but just surround him with the right mentors, Tony Dungy, you know, some good people in the league, and help him just make sure he stays on the right path, man. Oh, yeah, we got some Papa Murphy's pizza here. Shout out to Papa Murphy's for supporting us today at the Brock Heward football camp. Had a great showing out there in Renton. And that was just a little bit of drama we wanted to start the NFL off with, but we have much more better things to talk to after a message from our sponsor. And welcome back to the 13th Man Sports Show. I'm Sterling Brown at Swap It Out. Tweet your boy. Facebook your boy. Yeah. To continue on with football, here's BDZ5.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter at TheRealBDEEZY5. So go ahead and hit up that Twitter handle. Next, the NFL season coming up, and we're going to be talking about the most competitive division and what I think is going to be the least competitive division in the NFL.
Come on with it.
And why I think it's going to be that way. So let's just jump right into this. And, you know, like, NFC North, I think that's going to be the most competitive division. I know a lot of people, you know, they got Green Bay. They got Detroit coming up. Without Cutler's injury last year, Chicago was right there. They were looking good. So I think with a healthy Cutler, a healthy Stafford, you got Aaron Rodgers for Green Bay. Minnesota, I'm not really sold on. I'm still thinking that they're going to ride the last place in the NFC North. And I just think the NFC North is going to be the most competitive division. And I hate to say it, but I think the least competitive is going to be the NFC West yet again, because you have Seattle, you have St. Louis, you have Arizona. They're all unpredictable. You've got an unproven quarterback in Matt Flynn. You just don't know what you have with St. Louis or Arizona. I think San Francisco won't be as dominant as they were last year. So I just think it's not going to be a competitive conference, but it should be fun to watch the division games in the NFC West, because they should be playing around the same level. But, you know, you can't sleep on the AFC East either, because you got New England. They're always dominant. The New York Jets, now that they have Sanchez and Tebow, I don't know what they're going to do with that, but, you know, it's something that's unpredictable there. Miami and Buffalo.
You're right, man. Buffalo is going to be a surprise team this year with the acquisition of DeMario Williams. They really beefed up their D and their offense. I mean, they got C.J. Spiller. They got another back. I think Fred Jackson's his name. Fitzpatrick is really a great quarterback who's really underrated out there in Buffalo. And they have, a bona fide contender every year of a Super Bowl in New England. And then you look at the Jets and Buffalo. Now, the Jets are either going to rise or fall this year. This could be make or break time for them with your boy Tebow out there and Mr. Sanchez. Now, let's do a random question. Hot seat question, straight up, Brian. Who will be the starting quarterback week 16 for the Jets? Go.
You know, I really got to stick with Sanchez. I don't think Tebow is going to be the same quarterback he was in Denver. He's not going to have to step in and be the savior. And plus, Sanchez has always been there with the Jets, and it seems like he's messed up before. They've stuck with him. They haven't really experimented a whole lot. So I think even though they went out, signed Tebow, I say Sanchez starts week 16.
Broop, 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 broop. 7 points. Great answer. Now I'm asking myself the same question, and I was actually asked this question, I believe, 2 days ago at Juanita Beach in Kirkland by a random passerby who just said, "Hey, you, question." And, of course, you know I'm all over that. My answer is, you know, I hate to agree with Brian, but I have to this time. It's Sanchez. Now, I believe that Tebow did some amazing things last season, and I respect his beliefs, and I respect winning, which he did. You know, when he beat the Steelers in the playoffs in overtime, I almost cried because I did not want the Steelers to win from an old beef. The Super Bowl was fixed. XL. Excuse me. I don't know. I think we have a air problem in this room. Something there. And he definitely throws jangly. He plays funny. It's unorthodox. It's unfundamental. I really would not put him as my starting quarterback for the whole season. But I see what he did. Now, we'll have to see what happens. I mean, if he go ahead, prove me wrong, Tebow. I'd be glad to see it. I know you'll be smiling in all your picks and everything and just doing your thing. I love it. But I don't think Sanchez is really that nice either, though. Like, I really think that they could have used a, you know, what we believe Matt Flynn is going to be out here in Seattle if they really want to even contend to win their division, which I don't see them doing for a long time, if ever. I mean, New England is pretty well set up there. And let's get into the AFC North.
I mean, AFC North, you got Baltimore, you got Pittsburgh. Those are the two that are always at the top of the line. They're always battling in the championships and the playoffs. But you know, Cincinnati, Cleveland, what do we see with Cincinnati? What do we see with Cleveland? I don't really see Cleveland doing anything spectacular this year. Cincinnati keeps taking chances on guys that you know, are in loads of trouble. They go to jail all the time. They keep bringing them back. And I think that's part of the reason was that Cincinnati isn't really a good team a lot of the time. And then in the playoffs, they make the playoffs. Everyone thinks they're going to do well. They just barely squeak into the playoffs sometimes. And they just get eliminated in the first game. And that's why they have one of the longest playoff droughts in the NFL. But I don't see Cincinnati really being a powerhouse either. So I say this year, similar to last year in the AFC North, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, you know, just going head to head, seeing what's going to happen there. So what do you think, Sterling?
You know, that's a good question. The AFC North is such an interesting division too, because they do have Baltimore and Pittsburgh who go heads every year. And I believe that Baltimore will feel the loss of Terrell Suggs on defense. He's a monster maniac over there. And he wreaks havoc, but it's looking like he's going to be out for the year for a, I believe, knee injury he sustained recently. And so, you know, our thoughts and prayers go out to him and his family. But Baltimore, they win because they have a team attitude that is just tear people apart. Now, Flacco, I am not sold on Flacco yet. Sorry, Joe. But I've seen you crack like an egg so many times that I just don't know where you're going to be when it comes to stepping up and winning the big game. Now, I would love to see you prove me wrong, because I don't want Pittsburgh to win, because I'm kind of anti-Pittsburgh, and I just like Baltimore more. Now, if I'm looking at the sheet here Brian's got, the AFC North sent three of their four teams to the playoffs last year, which is amazing. So they are a competitive division. That says so right there. Cleveland, they picked up Trent Richardson. They're making some improvements. I think Colt McCoy is a good quarterback. He won, like, what, 40 out of 42 games at UT. Longhorns. And
this is the NFL, though. This isn't college we're talking about. You can be a good college quarterback, but in the NFL, I don't think he's proven anything yet, and I don't think he really will.
Very true. Very true. I was very big on him when he came out of the draft a few years ago, and I see leadership skills and potential in there. And let's not forget his rookie year, he took them into New England and beat the Browns as well. But let's move on to the AFC South here. Now, this is a division that I would say might rival for least competitive, is the AFC South and the AFC West. I think are both pretty, you know, pretty up for grabs. Now, AFC South consists of Houston, Tennessee, Jacksonville, and Indianapolis. Now, we all know Indy just grabbed Luck, but I don't believe he can save their whole team. Indy, Jacksonville, pretty bad. Tennessee went 9-7 last year, which surprises me because I thought they were worse than that. Houston is solid. I love Arian Foster for him. Brian Cushing. Schwab is even okay. Let's not forget Andre Johnson too. They got a good squad. They'll win the division again. And now in the AFC West, San Diego went 8-8. Denver won the division at 8-8. Oakland is running with McFadden, who's very injury prone. Let's see if he can stay healthy a whole season. Their move to get Carson Palmer is seeming to have worked out, huh? And Kansas City is a team that I would not be surprised if they went from last of the division to first in this division, because they lost Jamal Charles, who is also from University of Texas.
Yeah, Lions mascot took him out.
He runs like a 4.40. This guy is out. He hits the sideline, forget about it. And they got a great Q. Why can't I think of a QB right now? Who is their QB? They just got him.
Matt
Castle.
Castle.
Yeah, they just got him from New England. Yep. Castle, he's been there a year. He's nice. They got the best QB coach in the league with Jim Zorn, ex-Seahawk coach right there. Watch. KC, I mean, Denver, let's not forget Denver picked up some guy. His name's, I believe, something Manning, Peyton Manning this year. So,
wait, is any relation to Eli Manning?
He is Eli's older, not as cool brother. Nah. They're both really good. They got a strong family there. That's awesome. Can he stay healthy? I think so. I'm not worried about him getting hit and going down. but it's a possibility. Now, Denver really has a strong defense. They have Willis McGahee running the ball. But I still think Kansas City can take them down. And I don't know why Peyton chose to go there if he was thinking about winning the Super Bowl. But that's why we play the game, see how it all works out. Now let's go on to Hawk Talk.
Oh, yeah. Hawk Talk.
That's H-A-W-K-T-A-W-K, for those who understand.
Hawk Talk.
Understand intelligence things here. First of all, let's just jump in. You know, it's too bad we had to let Mike Williams go. I know that was tough on your boy, your Uncle Pete Carroll. Now, that couldn't be easy. Pete coached him at USC, and now he is had to cut him. They did him a favor by letting him go before training camp because Minnesota snapped him right up, which was nice.
I mean, they're going to give him a chance to prove himself. If right. he can't prove himself in Minnesota, he's going to get the same treatment he got in Seattle. But I guess we'll see how he works out in Minnesota.
Yeah, now to take – we believe for us to do this, we had to have some other receivers looking like they're going to take the grunt of the catches this year. Because I don't see anybody we've really snagged in free agency or in the draft. Last year we had a guy, Lockett, who was injured a lot of the season, but he stepped in and made a couple of key, nice deep catches. And we got Baldwin.
Well, one of the key free agents that they signed, I think a lot of people in Seattle are like, oh, man, why'd we sign this guy? Waste of money. Jermaine Kearse, he's got great speed. I think he's got the size to be pretty good, but I think he's an unsigned or undrafted free agent that they signed, and I think it might have been a good move because he might be able to compete with Ricardo Lockett for the spot.
Wait, you mean Jermaine from University of Washington?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a great sign right there. I'm amazed he was undrafted. That guy is a possession receiver.com. Like, you can really just throw him the ball. He'll get that 3rd and 15. He'll make those extra plays. Wow. That's good news that we got him. And I would like to see us get a little more size in our receiving core, though. But we do also have Golden Tate from
Notre Dame.
University of Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
Who is on a big year for him to step up also. Now, what I would say my favorite improvement about the Seahawks this year is would have to be our team attitude. We seem so competitive. We will fight over who gets the last Gatorade lemon lime flavor or who gets the high five blitz first or, you know, a bunch of things. We're just super competitive. We're looking like we have the attitude of a Super Bowl team, and that is something I have been longing for here in Seattle. I got to give a good shout-out to the coaching staff, Pete Carroll. Really seen a lot done with the acquisition of Sherman Smith, the best running back coach in the NFL, too. He sent two to the Pro Bowl last year, them being Michael Robinson and Marshawn Lynch. And Schneider is making a lot of moves in the – I mean, last year we had the most – transactions of any team in the NFL. So he's working. He's definitely letting us see what's the best team we can get out there. And it's just great to see for the people who have been longtime Seahawks fans and didn't just hop on the bandwagon, you know, yesterday. Now, moving on to more NFL news.
Marshawn Lynch. Is that where you're headed here?
He made a mistake. You know, he got pulled. No charges, might I say, have been filed yet. So I don't know if people need to jump on him like they have been jumping on him on the Faceboard or the, other online spheres. But
I mean, he was actually officially charged with the DUI yesterday.
When? What time?
I don't know, but it was yesterday.
Well, I'm gonna have to get on my phone.
Yeah,
and
check
this.
He was officially.
That's some serious words right there.
Yeah. He was officially charged with the DUI. Go ahead, Google Marshawn Lynch. See what comes up.
Does this affect what he's gonna do on the field next year? Absolutely not. What we in the end we might be looking at a suspension, depending on what goes on, what happened. A suspension and a fine is what we're probably looking at here. If the charges stick and if he, you know, complies with everything. And it's in the same relation with Justin Blackmon. I mean, let's be honest. Marshawn Lynch, his pockets on swole. He got paid this offseason and might have been enjoying himself a little too much. Now, he's shown a great work ethic during his contract year. We'd love to see that continue. And I would also like him to get, you know, some cool mentors around him, some people who can, that he respects as men, and he can just be like, yo, what are you thinking, dude? Maybe smack him upside the head a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Give him a noogie in them dreads. Something just to take him, you know, take it into perspective what's important right now. And, you know, I really hope everything's all right with him and that he is just ready to put this behind him and get on the field and, you know, dominate again, even more so than he did last year.
Yeah. But, I mean, we heard about Dez Bryant, too, accused of allegedly assaulting his mom. Say suspensions come down. Dez Bryant, Marshawn Lynch, they both get suspended. Who's going to be hurt more by the suspensions? Is it the Seattle Seahawks or is it the Dallas Cowboys?
Well, my first question to that would be who – and that is a great question. I would have to jump out there and say us for now because we really count on Marshawn to do a lot, and he is – in the scouting report, he intimidates the other. The defense is not trying to tackle him. They are looking to avoid or to maybe bring him down in some kind of safe manner, not like head on, because they know they'll get ran over and it'll be another earthquake at CenturyLink Field, the clink. Dez is a receiver, now a very dynamic one that Romo needs, but he's not in the best receiver they got. That's Jason Witten to me. And they also have Creighton.
Miles Austin.
Miles Austin's
his
nice.
Name around a little bit.
Yeah, he's good. He didn't have a good year that year. Last year, really. He didn't really do too much, but he's definitely talented also. So, I would have to go with Marshawn Lynch on that. And I'm sure that we will develop, you know, enough guys to back him up to where it won't be a problem, you know, if it has to go down, You know, we'd have to just win without him. But Goodell, now I don't know the Dez Bryant situation with him allegedly assaulting his mom. Now that, to even say that right there is just horrendous. You know, it's what happened though, they say.
Yep.
But Dez's mother has been in the news tons. You know, she has been arrested for dealing crack, for giving false information. She has been all over Dez's career, even when he was in college. So no excuses ever to assault your mom. But who knows what happened here? Was he brawling with his brother and his mom got in the way and kind of got pushed, like, and he got game, but not as bad? That was an awful scene, by the way. Or was it just him going crazy and just, you know, assaulting his mom? Now, if it would have been really bad, I believe we would have had more evidence of the assault, of the post-traumatic pictures,
yeah,
something.
Something would have gone up on TMZ.
Right. It's just some words, yeah, right now.
Exactly.
So hopefully, you know, they're both just ready for this season and put all this negative stuff behind them that I hate bringing up. I hate talking about it. But we got to learn from the past and move on. Now, anything else for football we want to bring up?
Let's see. Now that we're talking about the Seahawks and the Dallas Cowboys, do you think Robert Turbin would be able to step in for Marshawn Lynch
if he
were to go on suspension? What do you think about that?
What do you call him, Bobby Guns? Isn't that his nickname, Robert Turbin?
Well, have you seen his guns?
We're floating some nicknames for Turbin now. We got to come up with some hot ones. Bobby Guns is kind of killing right now in my book. And I'm guessing he's working with some 40s, you know, around there, you know, diameter-wise. And
massive. It's like the size of my leg.
Now, isn't he – now, what college is he from? Is that guy from Utah State, I believe? Linebacker?
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
Yeah, Utah State.
I haven't seen enough footage to know if he can step into the, you know, the big game and get some yards. Now, I believe he'll be prepared to do so and – yeah, let's hope he's ready. Now, if I can talk about the Dallas Cowboys for a minute, if we have time, I would like to say that this is also Romo's year to step up or basically find another gig, maybe in the league, because I don't know what's going on with Dallas's management per se. I don't know what's really important to them. I see they got a good roster, but their players kind of seem to not improve under what's going on there. Now, who does that lie on? Yeah, it lies on the player, but it's also got something to do with coaching and management. So I am not a Dallas Cowboys fan by any means. I like the league to be competitive, and you know, it's just they've just been like the who have they been like? They've been like the Kardashians of the NFL. If I need to use a reference, I gotta take it there, right?
Yeah, exactly. They really are the Kardashians of the NFL. I'm glad you used
that
reference.
They got what's his name? Jerry Jones is like the mom. What's her mom? The mom's
Chris
name.
Kris Jenner.
That's like Jerry Jones. That you know, is. And Romo is obviously
Rob Kardashian, or
is he putting him as Rob? I would say he's Kim. I would say he's Kim.
Oh, he's Kim. Okay.
I would say Rob. Or Tony's Kim. Witten's not in it, but I would take you know, the head coach would have to go with as the dad, Bruce.
Well, I mean, with Rob Ryan's hair though, the hair's kind of similar to Bruce. Maybe you
nice.
Should,
yeah.
Maybe you should put Rob Ryan as.
He's Bruce, right?
As
yeah.
Bruce,
he's
yeah.
Bruce, but who's Chloe? You were looking at for Chloe.
Oh man,
I would have to go with like DeMarcus Ware or one of their big time ballers. And okay, enough of that. You know, that madness there. Okay, what else about the NFL should we bring up real quick? Is there anything pertinent going on we need to bring up? Let me give a shout out real quick to the commentators. I think do a great job. Bucky Brooks did a great job with the NFL draft, and he is really stepping up his game. John Clayton, always been the best. I see him as a Hall of Famer.
Oh yeah.
I mean, they should induct him early. He's got it going on like that.
Well, you can't be the professor and miss out on the Hall of Fame, right?
Exactly. All right, so, well, we'll just move on, okay? That was we love football. It's coming up soon. Training camp starts in August. The new Madden comes out the second Tuesday. Make sure to pick up a copy on your Xbox or PS3. You got your boy Megatron, Calvin Johnson, Detroit
oh, yeah.
Lions going to be gracing the cover. They added some Kinect hybrid features. Should be quite a time. Moving on. So there's this phenomenon. Jeremy Lin. Now he is the
wait who? Jeremy Lin.
Jeremy Lin. Yes. The
who's that?
He is a part of one of the most amazing single performances in NBA season. Now he won. He was a part of the Knicks. He won 7 games with them by straight up ridiculousness. 40-point games, game winners in people's eyes. WAP. You know, all of that. Just basically carried the Knicks for 7 games while he stepped in for their injured point guard. I forget who it was. It wasn't Shumpert. It was.
Well, I mean, at that point, you had Carmelo Anthony that was injured, and then
yeah,
you
Melo
also
too
had
was injured.
Amari Stoudemire was injured too at that time.
That is correct. So now, Jeremy Lin, it's time to pay him. Did the Knicks pay him? Nope.
Couldn't afford them.
Do they match his offer sheet?
Couldn't.
Nope. What do? They let him go to
the Houston Rockets.
H-Town.
Oh, yeah.
Where they gave him 25 for 3. Now, is he overpaid? Is anybody not overpaid? No, he's totally getting paid.
Yep.
He's getting what he deserves. He earned it. I mean, he's a high character guy as well as a skilled baller. He's going to have to definitely step his defense up. He's going to have to recover 100% from the knee injury that put him out for the rest of the season. Ooh, did somebody ask that? Did somebody ask me if I would give him 25 for 3?
I will right now. Would you give him $25 million for 3 years?
You know, if let's say in the Sonics, you know, we're back in the picture and they asked me to make a call like that, I would have to say, where's my button? Bam! I can't do it, bro. I really like what you've done. I think you're an excellent human, but I can't see you guarding Chris Paul for a full game. I can't see you guarding Darren Williams, Nashdy, Westbrook. I mean, all these great point guards in the West. I can't see him guarding them. And keeping them under their average. So I couldn't do it. I think defense first, all day, every day. Now he could be a solid backup though. Definitely could be a backup. I could see him going for 22 to 20.
So you want him to be like a Ben Gordon, six man coming off the bench?
Why you gotta bring up Ben Gordon?
Come on, man.
UConn's finest. Oh man. I would see him more like he could maybe be like Ramon Sessions should be for the Lakers. Now Sessions maybe if he steps up, which I think he's got game. But now he's backing up Nash, clearly, right? So, I would like to see Lynn do very well. Houston's made some great pickups. They signed some good people. And, I mean, they should have a good year this year, no doubt. Next in hoop. Now, I don't know if you all have heard or not, but Brandon Roy is out of retirement and about to play for the Minnesota Timberwolves alongside a healthy Ricky Rubio, Kevin Love. Minnesota just made Bantam an offer. They also have Derek Williams from Arizona, who is – he's from Arizona, but he's nice. He's got game. He's a big guy. They still have Luke Ridenour, Blaine's finest, backing up there in Minnesota. Now, hey, watch Minnesota. They are making some moves. Now, I don't know what they can do to get into the playoffs yet, but they're definitely on the map. What you got to say about that Dwight Howard Lakers situation, though?
I mean, the Dwight Howard Lakers situation, it's one of those things. Chris Paul tried to go to the LA Lakers. The commissioner wouldn't let him. He doesn't want players deciding where they go, all this stuff. I don't know. David Stern has all these weird little rules that he won't let Chris Paul go to the Lakers. But now that Dwight Howard is trying to be traded to the Lakers, we'll see how it works. But I think Dwight Howard wants to be traded to the Lakers because, like we said earlier, we were talking about it before the podcast, and we were saying that he wants to be in L.A. for more of the fame. He'll get more endorsements. He'll get more recognition in L.A. But I don't know. Like the last couple of years, I haven't really been a huge fan of Dwight Howard and all the drama he brought to Orlando. They had to fire their coach at the end of the year. I think it was primarily because of Dwight Howard. So what if he goes to L.A.? What if he does the same thing with Mike Brown that he did to Stan Van Gundy in Orlando? I mean, you never know with Dwight Howard. He's a great player. He's a big body underneath. But at the same time, is it worth the money that you're going to pay him? And is it worth the risk that comes with him that he could tear apart the team? I mean, I just don't – I wouldn't take a chance on Dwight Howard. And a lot of people are always saying – that I'm wrong for saying that because Dwight Howard's such a great player, but I don't like to take chances on people that have torn apart their teams in the past for the amount of money you're going to spend on them. If you're going to take a chance on somebody, maybe pay him $1 million, maybe $1.5 million per year, that's fine. You can take a risk there. If you're not going to break the bank, break the salary cap and sacrifice the team, but at the same time, this would be destroying your salary cap. You wouldn't have the money to spend on somebody else. They've already got Kobe. They're already paying Kobe tons of money. What does Kobe make, like 27?
Yeah, he's definitely getting his chippers out there.
So, I mean, the question is, can they afford Kobe? Can they afford Dwight Howard? Can they afford the risk? And if they have Dwight Howard and Kobe, how are they going to work together? Is it going to be like a Kobe to Shaq? Are they too players that are past their prime that can't work together? What's going to happen? I think it's really up in the air with the Lakers. They might have to give up too much for him too. So I just don't think it's worth it for him to go to the Lakers. But obviously Orlando's going to explore the options. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. And I definitely agree with B. Deasy about Dwight Howard's mindset. Dwight hey, I know you have one of the best shoulder workouts in the NBA. You and Rondo are in there doing the military press and dumbbell jumping squats and everything, but when are you just going to play the game and not try to be a cameo in Three Stooges or saying you're going to leave the team, then stay, then leave the team, then stay? I mean, come on, man. Now you want to go to L.A. Now, first you want to go to Brooklyn. Now you want to go to L.A. Now, rumor mill says that the Cavs are trying to help the Lakers get Dwight Howard. Now, that might be from some vendetta they got against the Miami Heat, and they don't want the Heat winning. But also, I've heard that Pau Gasol might be flying away in that deal, and that would totally negate the greatness of this deal. Pau Gasol is the heart and soul of the Lakers. Since they let go of D-Fish, Kobe is, you know, a machine. He's automatic. But without Pau, they were not even contending anything. They got the extra rings because of Pau. So don't let Pau go for Dwight Howard. You could have made JaVale McGee of the Nuggets an offer and got a better, cooler, more aggressive player for a lot less money and kept Pau than just putting all your eggs in the Dwight Howard basket, who totally has an ego problem. And yes, I mean, I could get 20 assists a game playing with Dwight Howard, lob this, you know. I mean, the guy really has zero post game, and I haven't seen him develop anything since he got into the league. He's just gotten bigger and stronger and dunks harder, which is, don't get me wrong, you can't teach height, you can't teach vertical leap. There's just some intangibles you want to look for, too. So, we got a commercial break? All right, we got to go to commercial. We'll be right back. All right. Continuing on with the Dwight Howard discussion. Back in the day, there was no complaining. There was no gripes, bidding wars between teams. But there is no back in the day. This is now. And I think everybody would agree that we've lost really a value of what's important to the game. I mean, these guys get paid ridiculous checks. Not their fault. Inflation, you know. And it's kind of taken away from the purity of basketball, of sports. And Dwight, go ahead and get your head checked. You're looking kind of small on top of all those shoulders. And be sure to think about what you can do to improve whatever team you're going to land on. Get with Hakeem Olajuwon. Get with Kareem. Get with somebody to help work on that post game. Your shot looks like a velociraptor taking a free throw, man. I mean, you can't even make 50%, and you're crying about how you need to leave teams.
Velociraptor? Okay. Are we talking about Chris Bosh, or are we talking about Dwight Howard?
Oh, he had to try to work in a Chris Bosh sting right there. Okay. Wow. We are lucky enough right now, ladies and gentlemen, to get a call from IG at Ibin Cut by Ibin. Ibin, you there? What can you tell us about this Dwight Howard situation, man? What do you think about it, the impact he's going to make on a team? What do you think about his game right now? Where's he going to go? Do you like his swag? Whatever.
I think just in general, this whole Dwight Howard deal is getting played out because being a fan, I'm so glad Jeremy Lin signed, first of all, because we get to stop talking about him. And so now all we're going to talk about is Dwight Howard. Hopefully Tiger Woods can win this British Open so we can get some more news. But anyway, okay. I just think that he needs to be a man, first of all, and just make the decision, because who wouldn't want to play for the Lakers? I don't give a damn who on there. Who wouldn't want to play for the Lakers? I mean, you got Antoine Jameson come out the woodwork out of the Lakers. I mean, who wouldn't want to play in L.A.? I mean, Lamar Odom got depressed after he left L.A., you know what I'm saying? So it's like, who wouldn't want to go there? As far as his impact, I think the team is going to – I don't know why the Cavs are in the mix, but I guess as far as money or, you know, with the collective bargaining agreement or whatever, but if he goes to L.A., it's a done deal. Miami is, it's a done deal. I promise you that. Because Kobe's going, he's going to just swallow his pride and go ahead and get number six and hopefully get number seven to surpass Mike. You know how infatuated he is with that. So, I just think there's either between the Lakers or nobody, really, because the Rockets, I don't really see it happening. It's just, I don't see it happening, because they can't even keep hold on to the Houston Conference, so they showed him they didn't get the White Howard. As far as his swag, I just think he's a big-ass kid. Even Shaq knew when. Shaq is the biggest kid in the history of sports, and he knew when to get serious, and he knew when to act like a kid.
World.
All-Star Weekend, that was Shaq's time to act like a little kid. You know, first 10 games of the season, that was his time to act like a kid, you know what I'm saying? But when it came down to it, after All-Star break, Shaq was all business, you know what I'm saying? But Dwight Howard just can't separate the differentiate between being childish and being a role model and being an athlete and all that. So, but I just hope that he landed in L.A. so we can just go ahead and keep this dynasty going. Because I am a Lakers fan, Laker Nation.
I can tell.
How we do this. Bleed gold and purple. Snoop Dogg is one of the biggest fans of all. So, you know, we got to keep it real. Blow one for the power one.
All right. Enough about that Dwight Howard situation. Now, what do you think about Tiger? What's Tiger going to do this weekend? Is he going to make the cut? Is he going to win it all? Is he going to place?
Oh, he's already won. Oh, Tiger Woods already, I think he's one stroke behind the league, or maybe two strokes behind the league, I think. Yeah, I think he'll be all right. Yeah, Tiger determined, man. Tiger on a roll, man. You know, he won three PGA's events. I know he done won three events, but I think three of them are all PGA's. Anyway, Tiger's back, man. Even though he never really went nowhere, he just went from a 69 to a 72, and everybody thought he fell off the map. But, yeah, Tiger ain't went nowhere.
What have you seen during the Olympic trials that you like on the court, or what can they do to, you know, really dominate some of these teams? I saw them almost, you know, they beat Brazil, but it was by like 8 or 9 points. What do you think of their roster?
Well, today they did a good job. They blasted Great Britain by damn near 40 today.
Wow.
And what they did to get the spark going is Mike Krzyzewski, the genius of all geniuses, he started Kevin Durant today for the
finally
first time. They started Kevin Durant, and the first play was Kevin Durant. The first 2 points they got was Kevin Durant dunk, and that started it all. So that was his biggest move yet as a coach, as an Olympic coach, is he started Durant. That was his best move yet. And LeBron went nuts today. Deron Williams went nuts today. He had like 14 or 16 points in the third quarter. LeBron was just, he had like 8 in a row one time. He did a little hokey doke where he went out of bounds, and then he took the ball out of bounds and threw off the dude's butt, did a reverse like Jordan a little bit. It was pretty crazy.
What?
Yeah, it was nice, man. And then, who else? Oh, I want to comment for all you fans out there.
All right,
who
bring
don't
it.
Know why Serge Ibaka's playing for Spain. Serge Ibaka's from Congo, first of all. And the only reason why he's playing for Spain is because that was his first professional contract. And whenever you play your first professional season at, they have a choice. The country has a choice to anoint you as their international whatever. I don't know what the exact word is, but it's some kind of anointing they do. So if I played in India, they can anoint me as their player, even though I'm not in India, because I played my first professional contract there. So I have my first professional contract in that country. So that's the only reason why Serge Ibaka gets to play for Spain, which I really think is unfair. But
totally.
They face the USA in Barcelona in 2 or 3 days, I believe, next week maybe. So that's gonna be the bomb, because they won't see them until the semifinals or the finals in the Olympics if they get that far.
Uh huh. Wow.
Yeah. So that's the big matchup. The big news is Spain having Serge Ibaka, and then they play the USA in the pre-trials. Coming up in the next week, I know for sure. Before the Olympics start, they play. So between now and the 27th, they play Boston, Spain.
Thank you, IG. Now to talk about a sport we haven't touched on yet, and that is hockey. We all know the LA Kings went ahead and put another banner up in their arena. Congratulations to them. BDZ, what do you got to say about this hockey?
Well, you know, I feel like this year is going to be one year to look forward to for the NHL. We had a 6 seed in the New Jersey Devils against the 8 seed LA Kings in the playoffs this year. No one saw that coming. After Vancouver got the 1 seed, you got the New York Rangers as the 1 seed. Everyone thought that they were going to face off in the Stanley Cup Finals, but that's what makes hockey so good, and you never know what's going to happen in the playoffs. But the LA Kings, I saw them play early in the year. It was like January. They played against the Colorado Avalanche. It was one of the weakest games I've ever seen. And then I saw them play against Detroit at the end of the year. They blew them out like 5-2. So I think they just caught fire at the right time. They were a hot team in the playoffs. Jonathan Quick just stepped his game up, was able to shut down the other teams all throughout the playoffs. But I don't think that they're going to be that dominant next year. I know the people in L.A. excited that this is the first time that the L.A. Kings have won the Stanley Cup. But at the same time, I don't think they're going to be as dominant as they were in the playoffs in the regular season. And I don't think it's really going to be an exciting year in L.A. They will make the playoffs again this upcoming year, but I don't see them being that dominant once they make the playoffs. And as for the Phoenix Coyotes, they were owned by the NHL, and everyone kind of gave the NHL a hard time for making trades. They got Mike Smith in goal. He's a very good goaltender. They have Shane Doan, some veteran leadership. But Phoenix was, you know, they were one of those teams that were not very good last year, the year before. They were up and coming. They made the playoffs as an 8 seed. As lower seeds before, now they come up, they start playing some good hockey. They went far in the playoffs. They got knocked out by the LA Kings. And then on the other side, you have Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh went out in the first round. Boston went out in the first round. Detroit went out in the first round in the West. These are some of the most dominant teams that we've seen from the past couple years. Mm-hmm. And this is, it's something that it makes hockey so unpredictable. And I think this next year, Detroit, Nicholas Lidstrom retiring is going to really hurt him. Darren Helm getting injured in the playoffs, that really hurt him. So I think if Darren Helm is able to make a full recovery and then be able to come back, then that's going to help out Detroit. Nicholas Lidstrom, I don't think you can really replace his leadership. You can't replace his skills. You could probably get somebody that's a little bit quicker when you draft him, but they're just not going to be the same as Nicholas Lidstrom. Jimmy Howard, he made the All-Star game this year. He's a very good goaltender, but he needs some help on defense. And I think if Detroit, you know, Datsyuk starts working with Zetterberg, all those guys continue to play well together, they all start pitching in. Howard has a good year. I think Detroit will make the playoffs again. I'm not saying they're really a Stanley Cup contender or anything, as much as I'd like to see him, because I'm a huge Detroit Red Wings fan, but I'm not really sold on the Detroit Red Wings winning the Stanley Cup this year. But I think, you know, you got to watch out. You always got to watch out for Pittsburgh. You always got to watch out for Boston with Tim Thomas. You got Malkin and Crosby on Pittsburgh. But it's just so unpredictable this upcoming year in the NHL, so it's hard to tell who's going to be good, what's going to go on in the offseason, who's going to make that move to sign a key player. And I think it's really the playoff teams from this year that made the playoffs. If they make a big-time move after a big-time player, then I think they are going to be the ones that contend for the Stanley Cup. Detroit is a veteran team. That's why they always make the playoffs. They made the playoffs the last 17 years, but you've seen them. They're a step behind. They got injured. They had a ton of injuries at the end of the year. And when I saw them play at Anaheim, it was like watching the Grand Rapids Griffins play against the Anaheim Ducks. So if Detroit wants to be successful, they're going to need to stay healthy, and the Canucks need to finish their job. They won the President's Trophy, the best regular season team in the NHL, but they weren't able to finish it in the playoffs. In Game 7 in the Stanley Cup against Boston last year, it was the same thing. They made Game 7, Luongo choked, they couldn't finish anything, and it wasn't good for Vancouver. So I think Vancouver just needs to learn how to finish it, and I think that's really what they need to do because they are a talented team. All right, so that's pretty much the NHL talk for the day. It's one of those things, it's hard to tell in the offseason who's going to be up and coming, who's going to be a good team until these teams start making their moves. And I know a lot of people in Seattle, they're not really on the hockey bandwagon. They're not on the hockey train. People don't really know what's going on. So I think we need to get more interest in the city of Seattle since that's where we're broadcasting from. So I think the goal here, by talking about hockey, try and get people interested, you know, follow the moves in the offseason, follow who's going to be good, who's going to miss out on the playoffs yet again, all those teams that are fighting for the playoffs, who's last place, all that. So, you know, what do you think, Sterling?
Okay, let me interject real quick. Now, B. Deasy, you know, he represents Mercer Island, Washington, the Islanders, and is actually from, I believe, what, Michigan?
My roots are in Michigan, so that's
right.
Where my family lives.
That is hockey country. The Midwest is where it actually snows enough for you to play ice hockey, unlike here. Now, me personally, I want a hockey team in Seattle, and I'm ready to do whatever it takes to get that. What's up, Chris Hansen? And also getting the Sonics back. So I'm all for the hockey talk. And okay, here's a little rundown from Bleacher Report. Mariners beat the Royals today 6-1. Yes. Now they're saying here.
Mariners win.
Oh, yeah, the Royals. Lynch was right around legal limit for when he got pulled over for alcohol. That's what they're saying there. And they're saying that the Lakers signed Antoine Jameson. Luck agreed to deal with the Colts. We already touched on that. And is Russell Westbrook a point guard or a shooting guard? Go.
Why are you asking me about Russell Westbrook right now?
I'm just throwing it out there, keeping the show entertaining and interesting, you know, for our two listeners out there. What do you think?
He's a guard for sure. You know, I don't know. He's definitely a player that can light it up, you know, as an outside shooter. He can drive also, but at the same time, we saw him turn the ball over a lot, so it's kind of hard to see where Russell Westbrook is headed. He's a young player for sure, but at the same time, he's still kind of learning. He's turning the ball over. He can hit 40 points in one game, but I feel like Durant is more of a mature player rather than Westbrook at this point, but I feel like they complement each other very well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you hit it right there on the top. You know, Westbrook, he's got game. He's a little erratic. You know, me as a personal point guard, you know, knowledgeable individual, I would want my point guard getting around 10 assists a game. I mean, I think that's what a point guard does. And I don't really see Westbrook bringing that. I think if they got him, they could move him to the two and get a nice point guard in there, or really even move Harden to the point guard position because he's more of a you know, floor general, really, than Westbrook. Westbrook can run to the hoop, fly, and dunk on you all day and maybe hit some jumpers, maybe get streaky. But I'm just trying not to hold it against Westbrook for playing his game, but he's alongside Durant, and he needs to be giving Durant the rock. He's running things. Hey, just found out from IMDb.com, the name of the Will Ferrell, Zach Galifianakis movie is The Campaign. It's about to come out soon. It's got, like what sounds, they're beefing over politics. You know it's going to be hilarious. You're going to see it twice at least. Brian, I hear we got a caller coming in. Yes, I love when we have callers.
Yeah, we actually have Natalie in Santa Monica calling in, and we're going to ask her if she has any sports questions, anything she'd like to ask us after, you know, thinking up some questions. A lot of our callers call in with questions, or sometimes we ask our callers questions that they can answer like we did earlier, but we're just going to see what Natalie has to say. So, Natalie, hello, are you there?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So I have two questions for you, one sports-related and one kind of sports-related.
Okay, perfect.
Bring it.
So my first question is, I know that recently Tony Parker's eye was severely injured in a bar brawl between Chris Brown and Drake, and he thought he was going to miss the Olympics, and now he's back practicing with the team. And I'm wondering if you guys think that his severely injured eyeball will affect his performance at all.
Ooh, great question. And I'm sure the fight that happened in the bar was over something very big deal. or something very important, Rihanna, like Rihanna politics something? Or umbrellas, something like that. Now, if I'm guarding, first of all, Tony Parker's playing for France, and their team, they're okay. But if you're guarding Tony Parker, you're definitely going to make gestures to be poking at his eye or whatnot. This is for medals. This is for country pride. Everything's on the line. Now, that's news to me that he's about to be playing and coming back. I think he should have just sat it out already if his eye is that, you know, googly-eyed or whatnot. Brian, help me out here.
I mean, if he said he wasn't going to play first and now all of a sudden he's coming out saying he's going to play, you've got to think that he's got some kind of good help for his eye. Maybe he got surgery right away. Maybe they fixed it. We haven't really heard anything else, but it can't be that severe if he's going to come out and play in the Olympics, because if it was really that bad and he could only see out of one eye, then he wouldn't be playing. Like, we'd have, like, Mike Wazowski playing basketball out there.
You know he's thinking about his eye every game, though. He's still nervous about it.
I have a follow-up question for that, then.
Excellent.
All right.
So then, that's Team France, but how about Team USA? Where Blake Griffin blew out his knee and Anthony Davis is going to step in. How do you think he'll match up against Tony Parker?
Ooh. Well, blowing out a knee, ouch. Blake, wish you a fast, speedy recovery for that. You're back on the Clippers with our local superstar Jamal Crawford is heading down there. I'm looking forward to seeing him play this year. Now, the eyebrow, I see him not even really getting off the bench much. I've watched a couple games. He hasn't gotten any time. And so I think what they're really doing is playing – I mean, the eyebrow meaning Anthony Davis, of course. He trademarked that term. He loves it. His mom wears eyebrows, unibrows at the games. Everybody's embraced it.
Yeah,
I think it's disgusting.
It's painful.
But what am I going to do? I'm nobody. So I think they're really going to be playing Tyson Chandler more. We're definitely going to miss a lot of super highlight dunks from Blake. But, yeah, just expect us to go to – really a unique lineup with maybe LeBron or Carmelo Anthony playing a lot more power forward position than we'd see if Blake was going to be eating up a lot of that time. Get well, Blake.
All right, and then you said you had some kind of sort of sports-related question. What was that question that you wanted to ask?
Sort of sports-related. I'm wondering, I know that recently in the media – Michael Vick came out and mentioned that he wanted to get another dog for his children. And I'm wondering, I, as a dog lover, had a hard time with what he did, but I believe that he has served his time, and I don't know. I'm torn whether he should get another one or not. So I kind of just wanted to see what you guys thought.
What do you think?
I mean, I think he's volunteered at the Humane Societies. He's come out, he's been in magazines holding dogs. He's clearly trying to make a point that it was part of his past. He does have a violent past with animals. But I think what he was trying to do, he got a joy in betting on the dog fights. And now that I think he's past that, he's spent time in prison. He's thought about it. What am I doing here? Now I think he's focused more on his family. So I think now that his kids want a dog, I think he's – hopefully he's not going to get something like a pit bull, because that's a red flag right there. Right when he gets a pit bull, he gets a Doberman. Everyone's going to, oh, no, Michael Vick, dog fighting. If he goes out and gets a poodle, that'll be fine. If he gets, like, what are the, a Yorkie would be fine. Something less violent.
Nice and snuggly.
Exactly. I mean, maybe not a Yorkie or a poodle, obviously, because that's too
Pomeranian.
Too soft for Michael Vick. But go out and get, like, a Portuguese water dog or something like that. But
I mean, it's tough to keep a man from getting a dog. That's a man's best friend. I'm a dog lover also. I think it's kind of funny that people want to ban him from ever owning a dog again, because that is just ridiculous. I don't think that he can really own a dog that can fight again, like you're saying. I mean, he's got an image to keep up, or he's got his character to continue to represent. So I would see him with like a lab, or maybe some kind of mutt that just needs a home. You know, something at least if you're gonna get a pit bull, ease into the pit bull, you know, a couple dogs later. Don't just jump right back into it. And don't get a dog that don't be walking a dog that is just too small and too girly looking, because that's gonna hurt how your team thinks of you and how you're respected around the league too. But I mean, hey, that's if you still win Super Bowls, you know, Tom Brady used to play with dolls, you know, and he's winning Super Bowls, so that stuff doesn't matter, but hey, maybe it does.
Hey, but you really want to punish the guy. You really want to punish Michael Vick. Make him adopt a cat. I think that's really what the punishment should be. Michael Vick wants to adopt something and people are up in arms about it. Make him adopt a new kitten. Make him adopt an older cat that still has its claws.
Yeah. Make him get a dog that's going to tear up the house for a little while. Keep him on camera on FX or some reality show where the dog messes up and he can't hit the dog, or he can't punish the dog because of his past probationary, you know, things. Okay. And, you know, just see what happens. It'd be better than some of the other stuff we see on TV.
So pretty much he's on, like, dog house arrest. Is that what it is? All right.
Go dogs.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for calling in. Glad you could be on the show today.
Mm-hmm. Enjoy.
Sure.
All right.
Thanks.
See ya.
Bye.
That about wraps it up. We got any last shout-outs or anything we need to do? I would like to shout out Chun's Teriyaki in Kirkland, located off of 116th. Great place, great food. Brian, you got one?
You know, you can't do a show without shouting out Chipotle. You know, Chipotle nationwide. You got Chipotle. Qdoba, pretty good, pretty close. Not as good as Chipotle. But I'll shout out Chipotle in Bellevue, Seattle, wherever you can get it. You can get it. You can live in Minnesota right now. They got two in Rochester, Minnesota. Might as well hit those up, right? All right. That's the shout-out I got. So go ahead and continue now, Sterling.
Thank you. Thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of this show, and I'm looking forward to the progress. If you got anything, you know where to find me. My email is swapitout@gmail.com, just as it sounds. That's also my Twitter. Retweet, quote, your boy, favorite, your boy. Lastly, we got to say a couple really intelligent things for the mic. Nope, actually, don't got anything. Brian, last words?
Yeah, I mean, thanks for tuning in today. It's been really fun getting in the studio, finally getting something out there. Hopefully people like it. Be sure to follow me on Twitter @TheRealBDZ5, just like it sounds. Be sure to private message me with any questions. Go ahead and tweet at me. I'll retweet you. All that stuff. Thanks for tuning in. And if you keep tuning in, it's just going to get bigger and better as the show goes on. So if you're a fan, we appreciate you. We appreciate the listeners from this podcast. And we hope that you continue to listen as our weekly show continues.
Much more to come. We appreciate you having ears and being able to listen. I also got to give a big shout out to ESPN for providing a lot of information and good stuff. I got to give one last shout out to Skip Bayless, Stephen A. Smith, just for being such amazing haters. And I got to go. I mean, they got to turn this mic off or I'm going to keep going. Unless, Brian, throw something else out there before we bounce.
Yeah, man, you can't keep talking today. We got to save something for next week. We got to keep some material
for
next
week.
There'll
be more.
Oh, yeah. We'll be in here yet again, just going off about random topics. If you want to call in, let us know. Private message us on Twitter. We'll be taking callers next show. So if you want to call in, let us know. We'll take more callers. We'll answer any questions that you have, whether it be sports, entertainment, whatever it is, we're prepared for it.
Yep, got you covered. Don't even trip. We out.